So today I'm going to read a whole book of the Bible. It's the shortest book in the Bible. 3 John, just 15 verses. And first, I just want to look at the main, what I think is the main verse in this short little book. It's verse 11. Go ahead and put the slide up, Barry. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does what is good is of God. The one who does what is evil has not seen God. Now, does that sound familiar? You've heard that before? This verse nestled in the middle of this chapter. What do you notice? Well, first, I think there's an admission here of a very human tendency, and that is our tendency to imitate. We are imitators, am I right? If you're a parent and you've ever seen your kid act like you, you know we are imitators, for good or for evil. Humans seem to be wired to imitate. We are copycats. Monkey see, and we are the monkeys. And if we see it, we believe it, and we copy it, and we imitate it. How many times have I had a perfectly good golf game going, and I'm on the tee, and my partner tees off first, hits it in the water, and then I get up and tee off and hit the ball in the water. I have that in my head, and look what happens. So if you hang around someone long enough, you will begin to imitate them, right? And this explains, I think, many of the social contagions of our day. A social contagion is a rapidly spreading behavior or idea which people imitate without any reason or any thought. Somebody wakes up one day and thinks they're a turtle, and they go online, and it goes viral, and a million people see it, and the next thing you know, everybody's a turtle. There's no reason, there's no thought, we're just imitators. We imitate what we see, and if we see it, we believe it, and we imitate it without even thinking about it. The other thing I notice in this verse is that it's not very even, is it? I would expect the verse to say, the one who does good is of God. The one who does evil is not of God. See, that would be even. But it's not even. It says, the one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. So we get the idea that the evil person is completely unhinged, so far out into left field or right field, they have no clue who God is or even reality itself. So we need to be extra cautious, it seems to me, in imitating things that are evil. I have a simple outline today. First, next slide, Barry. Do not imitate what is evil, imitate what is good, and God knows the difference. And here in 3 John, John is going to show us the difference, and he's going to put some names to the differences. So 3 John is a little letter, a little postcard to a church. So we're not talking about good and evil going out there in the world. It's stuff going on inside this church, in some of the leaders. It is a short letter. Let's read it and find out who is worthy of imitation and who is unworthy of imitation. So let's read God's word together. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was overjoyed when brothers came and testified to your truth. That is how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brothers and sisters, especially when they are strangers and they have testified to your love before the church. You do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Now, he's referring to these traveling missionaries that are going from town to town, spreading the good news about Jesus. And Gaius is supporting them in their efforts. He's supporting the missionaries. Verse 7. For they went out for the sake of the name, that's Jesus, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such people so that we may prove to be fellow workers with the truth. Verse 9. Now here's where it gets interesting. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with malicious words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brothers either. That's the missionaries who are coming. And he forbids those who want to do so, and he puts them out of the church. He's the bully. Verse 11. Here's our verse this morning. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does what is good is of God. The one who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius, he apparently is the deliverer, the mailman of this letter. He's received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself, and we testify too, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write to you, but I do not want to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we will speak face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. There, we did it. We read a whole book of the Bible. Well, what did you do in church today? We read a whole book of the Bible. No way. That is so cool. All right. Point one. Do not imitate what is evil. Verse 9 introduces a church leader named Diotrephes. So do not imitate what is evil means don't imitate Diotrephes. That's what that means in context. That's why you'd never want to just read one verse. You want to read the whole chapter because now you know what he's talking about. He's talking about this man who loves to be first. No good church leader ever puts themselves first. Can we just say that? No good church leader ever puts themselves first. Now, his theology doesn't seem to be the issue. His beliefs are right, but his me-ology is off. It's me first. C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity that the evils in this world are not really driven by greed and selfishness, but pride. Pride is the major evil. Lewis said, power is what pride really enjoys. Prideful people love power. And Diotrephes is the power broker in the church. He's prideful. He loves the power that he has, and he's not going to share it with anybody. Well, what kinds of evil things was Diotrephes doing? And John mentions four things that he was doing. First, he loves to be first. He wants preeminence. He doesn't promote other people, or he doesn't promote Christ. He promotes himself. Second, Diotrephes does not accept. He does not submit to the Apostle John. John had apparently written a letter before, but Diotrephes seems to have gotten a hold of it and canceled it because he didn't want anything bad to be said about him. Third, Diotrephes accuses John with slanderous words. Too often when a leader who's in the wrong, what do? They just resort to slander and gossip and personal attacks so that they can keep their position. That's what he's doing. And fourth, Diotrephes does not welcome traveling missionaries. You have people traveling from town to town, and they want to come and visit the church and bring new people into the church, but he has closed the door to these missionaries and to anybody in the church who's helping the missionaries. He's trying to kick them out. Does that sound like a nice guy, a nice church leader? The church culture is wrong because this man is leading. Again, his theology seems to be right, but his meology is off. It's his way or the highway, and he cuts off fellowship with anybody who disagrees with him. Is that sad? That's pretty sad. Charles Hodge said this: zeal for doctrine has in too many instances been narrow and prejudiced, mingled with the infirmities of personal pride and party spirit, and has hence led to unnecessary divisions and alienations of those who were in reality one in the faith. There have been a few times, I love doctrine, by the way, I love theology, but there's been a few times in my career where someone talked to me like I wasn't even a Christian because I didn't agree with their theology. I hope I've never done that to you. Do not imitate what is evil. Now, this means in context, don't imitate Diotrephes. He knows the truth, but he does not show the love of God. And that's important too, especially for believers. There's supposed to be a special love for brothers and sisters in the church. So Diotrephes is the evil one who has not even seen God. He's not even seen God. He's way off the mark. You feel the weight of this letter? This little letter has such a punch. All right, secondly, imitate what is good. So 3 John is written to another church leader named Gaius. Gaius is the one who does good. Gaius is the one we should imitate. There are 4 things mentioned here that we should imitate. First, Gaius puts others before himself. He has a reputation of being a faithful servant. He helps, he loves the brothers and sisters in the church. Second, Gaius supports these traveling missionaries. You know, in the early Christian missionaries, they travel from town to town, and they did so Jesus style. What's Jesus style missionary? They just went and they took nothing with them. They didn't stay at home and raise money for 3 years. They just grabbed a little backpack and they took off. And they depended on Christians for hospitality, for food, for housing, for water. They were trusting the Lord. Now, Gaius meets these people. They're true, genuine believers. He's helping them. He's feeding them. He's giving them hospitality. You know, when you're out preaching the gospel and you're talking all about the free gift of eternal life, you don't want to take money from people. You want to freely serve them and freely preach the gospel. And Gaius was supporting them. He welcomed them to the church. He fed them and housed them, and he gave them money, just enough money to travel to the next town so the believers in the next town could support them for the sake of the name, it says, that's Jesus. So third, Gaius is walking in the truth, and he's walking with grace, too, in love. 100% of the time, he's not so far on the truth side that he lacks love, and he's not so far on the love side of things that he's squishy on the truth. He's doing what's so hard to do as a believer, to walk 100% of the time in the truth and grace, truth and love. They're both absolutes. And too oftentimes we swing from one side to the other. But Jesus never does that. Gaius didn't do that. He's well balanced. His theology, his meology is well ordered. He's like Jesus. He's worthy of imitation. What did they say about Jesus? John chapter 1, full of grace and truth. And fourth, Gaius brings joy to John and the church. Diotrephes didn't bring any joy to John. Gaius brings joy to John. His spiritual life is prospering. He's a uniter. His theology, his meology is well ordered. What's the recipe for joy? Jesus, others, and you. He's got it. So finally, God knows the difference, and God also knows the specifics between good and evil. Point number one, do not imitate what's evil. Who disagrees with that? But then you put a name to it. Diotrephes. Ooh, that's specific. That can make the sparks fly, right? Point number two, imitate what's good. Who's going to disagree with that? But then God puts a name to it. Gaius. Imitate Gaius. The good man is Gaius. The evil man is Diotrephes. God knows the difference, not just in theory, but in name. In name. He puts a name to these things. Does that surprise you? He's concerned that this early church has a Christ culture. You don't want to allow any of this dysfunction, especially in the leadership, because if you allow it, then you get more dysfunction in the body. So he's really putting the screws on Diotrephes, right? Now you go around and ask anyone today, just try it this week, ask 10 people this week, who are the really good leaders we should follow today? Give me some names. And you're going to get 10 names. Who are the really good leaders we should follow today? Can we think of 10? We should be able to think of 10, right? Then ask this question. Who are the really evil leaders in the world today? Give me 10 names. That's going to get interesting. Is anybody going to agree who the evil leaders are? Do you think some people on the good list, some people on the evil list are going to be completely switched around? Yeah, they're going to be completely switched around. That's because we can't agree. We can't agree who the good leaders are and who the evil leaders are. But God knows. C.S. Lewis said again, good people know about both good and evil. Bad people don't know about either. They don't even care to ask the question. They never examine themselves. They're just lost. So the world doesn't know the difference between good and evil leaders. We know that. But good people know the difference, should know the difference. Why? Because we know God. And God knows. So just imagine you're in this church, and they say, all right, we're going to have the scripture reading today. Here's Demetrius. He's bringing a letter from John, the Apostle John. And the scripture reading today is 3 John. This is his third letter. And they're reading this letter to the church. Now, what if Gaius and Diotrephes are there with their family and friends? Oh boy. So this is a pretty tough letter, isn't it? But it's full of grace and truth. Why does John do this? Why does he call out Diotrephes like this and then put it in the Bible? I thought he was the apostle of love. That's what we say about John. He is the apostle of love. Well, think about this. John was once a man just like Diotrephes. He and his brother James were called what? The sons of thunder. They made a lot of racket, those two boys. They were zealous. They were ambitious. They were passionate. They got into fights and arguments. And John was in the inner circle of disciples. He's an eyewitness of the transfiguration, an eyewitness of the resurrection. He's the disciple that Jesus loved. But remember what he was like when he was a young disciple. In Mark 9, John rebukes a man. Why? The man casted out a demon. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, he wasn't an official demon caster. He wasn't one of the 12. So he yells at him. Jesus said, "Leave him alone. Leave him alone. If he's not against us, he's for us." And then in Luke 9, John and his brother, what did they want to do? They wanted to burn down a Samaritan city. Why? Because they wouldn't offer hospitality. They'd say, "Jesus, can we burn the city down? Can we call down fire from heaven and burn the whole town down?" That's John. And Jesus rebukes him again. And then there's this story in Matthew 20. There was a fight among the disciples. Who started it? John did. Why? Because John asked Jesus if he and his brother could be preeminent in the kingdom. Can one of us sit on your right hand and the other sit on your left hand when you sit on your throne? Remember that? And it's even his mom put him, mother put the boys up to it. So this is in the family. They just want to be first. Yeah, that's John. He just liked Diotrephes. When he was a young disciple, his meology was off too. And in this context, Jesus says this. This is our closing verse today. Jesus says, "Whoever wants to become prominent among you shall be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So John got slapped down pretty hard, didn't he? And that's why I think he asked Diotrephes to repent of his pride too. And Jesus rebukes us too for our meology. All the ways we put ourselves first, we put others down, we put off Christian friends. I like to think that Diotrephes repented, just like John did. And aren't you glad that Jesus did not put himself first? How he went to the cross, how he gave his life for us as a ransom to pay off the penalty of our sin and death and to purchase eternal life for us. Aren't you thankful? So let's give thanks today. But before we do that, let's pray this prayer of repentance from the scripture. I'll start and then you read after me. "Have mercy on us, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Purify us from our sins, and we will be clean. Wash us, and we will be whiter than snow.